everyone, it's AK. So I know it's been a long time, actually. I just looked, it's been almost a month since I've done a podcast. I've kind of been neglecting the podcast and also my Twitter page, partially because I am officially on the ballot for November. So I've been trying to work and kind of get my campaign going. If you don't remember, I'm running for the school board for my local community school corporation. And with the whole coronavirus situation, parents and teachers and students and other people are kind of upset with the decisions that the school board has been making. So usually people don't really care about the school board, but right now they are. So it's kind of like pressure on me now, even more so because of what's happening in our community and how the parents and teachers and students and others in the community are feeling. So when I went to go pick up the paperwork to get my signatures and fill out to turn in, I actually ran into a teacher protest because they protested. Let's see, that was Friday. It was on a Friday. And school was starting, the teachers were going back on that Monday. And they were protesting because they wanted to push the start date back like 2 weeks, because our county is kind of a hot spot, because the major county that we're a part of has been going through the roof, so it's kind of trickling over throughout the donut counties. So their schools have actually been pushed back. I think there's 11 school districts in that county, and I think maybe 9 or 10 out of the 11 actually pushed back their start date by 2 weeks. There's one school district that they planned on doing in-person learning online learning anyway, so they got to start on their regular start date. So the mayor actually said that no school can start in-person learning before, I think it was August 5th. So schools push back their start dates, you know, they kind of fix their calendars, and it wasn't really a lot that they had to do with the calendars, but one of the largest school corporations in the state actually decided to, they pushed their start date back 2 weeks also, but they're going to do online learning until, I think it was October or something like that. So other schools are doing that too in the county. But in our county, it's a smaller area and there's a whole lot less students here than are in the other places. So basically the county schools here, there's six of them, six major school corporations in this county, and none of them actually pushed back at all. Nobody changed their calendar, nobody changed anything. And as far as I know, all six were going to start in-person learning the same day they planned on it. So basically they were doing the opposite of what the surrounding county was doing. And parents were upset about that, mainly because our positivity rate was going up during this time frame. Like a week or two before school started, the case number started going up in this county, and they felt like it was unsafe for students and teachers to get back into this environment. You know, you've got thousands of people, hundreds of people together in a building, and you have the people that are high risk, you know, students and teachers and other staff members. So with the protest, I kind of stood around and talked to them for a minute, and then I told them why I was really there, and they were so excited. They said, go get that paper, we'll sign it. So I went and got the paper, and I got seven signatures. There was a lot more teachers than that, but not everybody lived in my school district, so they couldn't all sign it. And so I was really excited to meet these teachers, because I told them, you know, the schools I've worked in have actually been in the county that's changed all their start dates. And I said, so I don't really know the issues with this county, because the county schools where I'm at, it's a suburban area. The other schools, the other county is urban, quote unquote. So the issues are different when it comes to what the teachers and students want for their school. Like, for instance, my school corporation doesn't have to worry about every student having a textbook for their class, having full class sets of stuff. Well, the other schools I worked at did. So just something as simple as that. Like, the school board that I'm running for, the schools have been considered one-to-one for at least like 4 or 5 years, maybe. One-to-one meaning that every student has an electronic device. So when there's a snow day or an ice day, we have a lot of ice days where it's below zero without the wind chill, and they don't want the kids going to school standing at the bus stop. So whenever they have those days, they don't have to use it as a snow day or an ice day. They can just say it's an e-learning day. So that way they don't have to make it up. And they can do that because every single student in the school corporation has an electronic device and they're able to learn from home if needed. So again, that situation is completely unlike the ones that I worked at, the schools I worked at. So I was glad to be able to meet these teachers and kind of get a feel of what they were concerned about. And one of the ladies there, she was like, "I'll be your campaign manager." I didn't know if she was kidding or not, but I was like, "Yes, please. I need everything. I need help. I need everything." So I added her to Facebook and I created a Facebook page and I made her an admin. And the first thing she did was invited like 132 of her friends before I even put up a biography. So I'm like, you know, calm down. So I just did a biography and I invited all my friends to it, you know. So in our school district has actually been in the news. One of the other teachers that signed the paper, my paperwork, she's been a spokesperson pretty much for she works at the high school in our school district. So she's been a spokesperson, you know, on the news, talking about how the teachers feel about the coronavirus situation and going back to school and stuff like that. So she's been all over the news and everything, and the stories have been shared on Facebook. I mean, it's a really big thing. My little small town is, we're pretty big in local news right now, which is, it's pretty cool. But, so they didn't get what they wanted. So school started on July 29th, as planned. Now let me stop and talk about how we go to school so early or why. So Indiana, not the whole state, but it seems like kind of central Indiana, maybe like 2 or 3 counties, kind of central Indiana, for the past, let's see, this is 2020, the past maybe like 6 years or so, they've been doing what's called a balanced calendar. So basically what they do is they cut the summer shorter, but they put longer breaks during the school year. So starting July 29th, my school district gets out, I think it's May 28th. It's the Friday before Memorial Day. So they don't have to go back. Some schools actually have to go back on that Tuesday or Tuesday and Wednesday, and then they're done. But my school district doesn't. So what happens is after every 9 weeks or after every quarter, there's a break. So school started July 29th. So in October, I'm not sure the dates off the top of my head, but in October, they have a 2-week fall break. Now, when I was growing up, our fall break was a weekend. It was either a Friday or a Monday. It was no 2 weeks. So they have a 2-week fall break. When they come back, then, you know, you have the usual Wednesday, Thursday, Friday for Thanksgiving break. When they come back, the next 9 weeks is Christmas break. Everybody has 2 weeks for obvious reasons. And then when they come back, they have a 2-week spring break. And this year it's in March and April. The last week in March, first week in April, they have that 2-week spring break. And then you have the summer. So basically the summer is roughly 7 weeks, I think. I think it's 7 weeks. I'm not looking at the calendar right now, but I think the summer is 7 weeks. So basically all they did was they took away 3 extra weeks of summer break because they put in a 2-week fall break and gave an extra week of spring break. So they cut the summer short by 3 weeks, but they put those breaks in the school calendar. So that's why we start school so early, July 29th, because we have those extra breaks. We have 6 weeks total of breaks during the school year, the school calendar. Now, a lot of teachers and parents, when it first started, I shouldn't say teachers were excited about it. Parents were kind of like, you know, this is kind of weird. Our kids starting school in July. Some actually start school in August, but they have to go later because they're starting later. But parents, for the most part, they really like it because they're able to spend more time with their kids. You know, there's some parents that have like a 2 week vacation or whatever the time is, and they can use that time to, you know, go to Florida for 2 weeks during spring break, or, you know, go to somewhere in October for fall break. Teachers, of course, we love it because we really need breaks. Going from July to November without a break, that's rough, man. Like, that was really rough. So it's kind of like, once the tensions really start happening between the teachers and the students, and everybody's just getting stir crazy, it's like, boom, there's a 2 week break. And I'm like, yes. And so, so I really like the balanced calendar as a teacher. I thought it was a really good idea because as a teacher, you know, if we have an 11, 12 week summer break, that's 3 months. And, you know, we're basically spending the entire first semester reteaching the kids what they learned the school year before because they don't remember anything. So that's the whole point in doing the balanced calendar. So there's less time between the end of school and the first day of school. So hopefully students retain more information. That's the whole point in the calendar. So again, I know it's at least 2 to 3 counties in central Indiana that do this. Some started doing it and then they kind of went away from it. But my school district still does it, which is why, again, we started school July 29th. So back to my point. So the teachers went July 27th because they were there 2 days before the kids. So the teachers went July 27th. The kids went the 29th. So within the first week of school, there have been 3 students that tested positive for coronavirus and 1 teacher and then 1 other staff member. They didn't specify if it was a teacher or not. And those individuals are in, I think, 3 different buildings, the high school and then one of our elementary schools. And I think it's either another elementary school or a middle school. I'm not really sure. Basically, so the cases, you know, of course, people are really, they're even more upset about it now because some people might be like, oh, it's only 3 cases. It's not that big of a deal. But the thing is, our school district was one of the first ones. I think it was the first one in the entire state of Indiana to shut down. We were the first one and we shut down over 2 cases. So it was 2 cases of coronavirus. It was 1 student at an elementary school and 1 student at a high school. And our school district decided to shut down. It was, I want to say March 7th or 8th or something like that. They decided to shut down the school corporation and come back after spring break. So looking at the calendar, it's basically like giving the kids 2 extra weeks of spring break, even though they're going to be doing the e-learning. They have their devices, they're going to be doing e-learning. So it wasn't really a break. They're still doing their schoolwork. So we were the first school corporation to do that for 2 cases. And then next week, our governor decided to shut everybody down. And I think it was March 13th. And he decided to shut everybody down until after, I think he said May 1st, I think is what he originally said. And then he said, the end of the school, we're done. We're done with in-person learning. So the people that are kind of upset with our school district, they're saying, hey, you know, you guys shut down for 2 coronavirus cases. And this is before we really knew what it was. Now we know exactly what it is, well, for the most part. And now we have 3 cases and you're not shutting down. So it's like they kind of feel like we're guinea pigs because our district is one of the first ones to open up. And since they started on time, it's kind of like we're just going to see what happens. And so, you know, again, these positive cases, so teachers are upset. And so I think it's kind of cool. It's kind of a good idea at this point in time for me to run for school board because the parents in the community, I'd say most from what I've been reading and seeing and hearing, that most of the community, when it comes to teachers, are totally frustrated with the leadership regarding the safety precautions and that type of stuff with the coronavirus situation. And there are some parents who they specifically said, I'm tired of my kid being at home. I want my kid to go to school. It's like, okay, that's great, I guess. But what about, okay, whatever. So I think it's good for me running for school board because there are 5 members on the school board. And out of the 5 members, only one has an education background. And she is a retired teacher. So the other 4 have nothing to do with education. And I feel like as a school board, shouldn't you have more representation from the teacher community? Because as a parent or grandparent of a student, you don't understand the teacher struggles. So for instance, some members of the school board, one of the members was one of the people that said, I want my kid to go to school. I'm tired of my kid being at home, which is kind of messed up, but he was one of the ones that said that. And it's like, okay, you feel like that, but as a teacher, we don't feel like that. And, you know, of course, they're like, oh, well, it's not that bad. The teachers will be okay. School will be okay. It's not that big of a deal. You know, so it's like, if you don't have that background, you don't understand. Like, for instance, me being a teacher, if I was still teaching right now, I'd be like, holy crap, I'm not comfortable with this at all. And I told the teachers, I said, I agree with you guys 100%. I have your back. So if I win this school board election, I will be that voice of the teachers because I understand the struggle. You know, and I told the teachers, I said, you know, for our school district, because we have the electronic capability, we could have just started off the school year the first 2 weeks doing e-learning and kind of see what happens with the cases in our county. Because again, they started spiking probably like 2 weeks before school started, if they start spiking again. So I would have agreed with pushing it back, not necessarily pushing it back as when we're not going to go to school at all, but do online learning. And I said, because I get it, I taught high school. And I said, one of my classes, I had almost 40 kids in that class. And I'm like, that would be just a disaster. Having that many kids in the class, trying to do social distancing, trying to have the mask on, trying to do all this kind of stuff, like that would be a disaster. And then trying to teach all at the same time. And I mean, and then the fact that high school classes switch, I mean, it would just be a disaster. So like, I'm really glad I'm not teaching right now, to be honest. But again, I also understand the teacher frustration because I can look at these issues from that perspective, unlike the other members of the school board. So of course, my platform of running, a big part of it is I'm a teacher. I mean, it's kind of like mic drop. I'm a teacher. Shouldn't that be enough? But I know it's not. I know, you know, people want more than just your teacher. Okay, what else can you do, or what experience do you have, or whatever. So I'm excited about it because I do understand the frustrations of the teachers, not just this coronavirus thing, but everything, you know, the class sizes, behavior problems, all that kind of stuff. I get it because I've lived it. I've been in education for almost a decade and I've, you know, worked at multiple schools, served multiple positions. Like, I get it. So I'm really excited that my name is officially on the ballot. I checked online on the voter website where it had the candidates. And my name was there where it said, you know, school board, what did it say? School board candidate or something like that. So my name was on there. But I'm excited about it because one of the reasons I want to run for school board is being in education for so long and teaching high school, I'm able to see and hear different concerns that, you know, parents, students, and other teachers have. And I was just like, wow, if I could make a difference, if I could change something, or if I could address these concerns, if there was something I could do personally, that would just be so great. And then my mom told me about the school board election, and I was like, I guess I'm moving back to the county I left, because I moved out of that county for a year. So that's one of the main reasons why I'm back here, because you have to have, you know, obviously the residency requirements. You have to live in the county, in the corporation, the town, to run for the school board. Because again, it's been my dream, my goal to change something, to be a part of this change. And with our county, over the last 20 years, we've had an influx of a population increase. We've had immigration, our county has dramatically changed. When I first moved here about 15 years ago, I remember the only thing on our main road was Walmart and a couple of like little plaza businesses, and the rest was just fields. So within 15 years, I have seen our entire main road. There's not an empty space on the road. I mean, I'm talking like this road goes through the entire town, and there's stuff everywhere on the road. It's car dealerships, it's stores, it's restaurants, banks. It is packed. And I'm like, how much stuff are they going to try to put on this road? So, and of course, you know, building up the town, it entices more people to want to move here. And our schools are, you know, I think they're like in the top 10 in the state. So we've got good schools. And so I've just seen this change, and it's overwhelming for the town because it happened quickly. And so, you know, they've had to build, I think they built two more schools. I'm trying to think within this 15-year time frame. I think it's just been two more schools that they built. But I mean, there's so much change. And I'm like, as a teacher, I would love to be a part of that. And being in my town, this is my community, I just really feel like that would be a really awesome thing to be able to do, to be able to be a part of this change and help our community, you know, try to manage this and not be as overwhelmed as we are, especially our school corporation, because we're getting all these new students in and we're trying to figure out what to do, and there's just so much stuff going on. So I really hope I win, because I just really want to be a part of that change. You know, of course, I believe as a teacher, every student is entitled to a quality education. And to have a quality education, you have to have top leadership, you know, superintendent, school board, all the way down. People have to know what they're doing. They have to make the right decisions for the schools, for the students, because at the end of the day, it's ultimately about the students. None of this stuff matters. It's literally about the students. So it's like, I'm not thinking about this as myself. I'm looking at it as, how would this benefit the students? So I'm really excited, because I want to bring in that fresh voice, you know, that teacher voice, because I'm a millennial as well. So I'm younger, because I know everybody else on the board, I'm trying to think, they have grandkids like half my age. I mean, so they're pretty old. People on the board are pretty old. So being a millennial, so being younger, being a teacher, you know, I'll bring in that new voice, because our community and town schools are changing. We need some change. We need someone who can represent that change. So I really hope I win, because that would be great. There are three spots, and I found out that there was supposed to be one person that wasn't running for re-election. So that was going to be an empty spot. And then I found out all three people are running for re-election. And then I found out there's another person running for election. So it's me and four other people. And I'm like, oh, I wasn't supposed to have any competition. But out of all four people, I'm the only one, again, that has the education background. So for me, the stuff that I would be saying, it wouldn't be like BS trying to like pander to the teachers. It would be like straight from my heart. You know, I understand the importance of support. I understand the importance of, you know, feeling like the administration has your back. The feeling of appreciation from administration, from your leadership. I understand how it feels not to have that, and how important it is, how it totally changes your perception on everything if you do have that. So, I mean, just something as simple as that, I understand from, I have firsthand knowledge, firsthand experience. So it's not like, oh, well, I heard my son's teacher, I heard her say, no, this is straight up me. This is me saying this. I experienced this. I can relate to you guys. So I really hope that, you know, I'm able to win. That would be really awesome. Of course, I'll let you guys know if I won. Part of my issue, I know, is that it's kind of ironic being a teacher, but I'm not really a people person. So, you know, like school board, it's an elected position. It's not political. Well, let's face it, everything is political, especially education. It's highly politicized, but it's not supposed to be, but it is. So I'm not a people person in the sense of I hate talking on the phone, probably being an older millennial, because I grew up without a cell phone, so I talked on the house phone all the time. So now we have our cell phones, and I hate talking on the phone. I'm so awkward. So I hate talking on the phone. I'm really shy regarding, like, big crowds, like, big groups of people. Like, I just, you know, I don't like that kind of stuff. So the whole coronavirus situation, it kind of works out in the sense of there aren't going to be any big events where they're going to have all the candidates come together on the stage and spectators, all that kind of stuff. We're not going to have that. We'll probably have Zoom conferences or debates or whatever you want to call it, which would be great because it'd be me and four other people. Well, probably five. There's a moderator, probably five, me and five other people looking at me, you know, looking at each other on the screen, so it wouldn't be as bad. So for me, that was the hard part for me, trying to figure out how to get to that point where I'm like, okay, I can do this, you know, I got this. So it's like, of course, as a teacher, I know how to BS, you know, I'm a teacher, you know, you fake it till you make it kind of thing, which I totally planned on doing because I really do want to win. I really do care about this community. I care about students. I care about education, you know, and now that I'm not working, I actually have the time that I can dedicate to this position. You know, everybody else in the board has a 9-to-5 job, or I don't know if it's 9-to-5. They have a job to where they can't necessarily, you know, go to events during the day or whatever. If they're like, hey, can you come to the elementary school at 10 o'clock to see their performance or see their Veterans Day program or something like that? Can you come? Are you available? Yes, I am. I don't work, you know, I do school, but the schooling I do is online, and it's kind of, you know, as long as I get the work done within a week, it doesn't matter when I get it done. So I'd be able to, yeah, let me get up and I can come to see this Veterans Day program at 10 o'clock at this elementary school. So that's kind of exciting to me too, because I'll be able to actually be in the schools, you know, during the day, kind of just there, walk around, maybe, you know, talk to teachers, talk to students and that type of thing. So that's kind of cool to me that I'm able to do that. Because if I still had my job, like trying to dedicate time to doing school board stuff, I don't even mean like going into the schools. I mean, just being a part of the board, being a member and that kind of stuff, doing meetings and all that. I mean, I taught a total of over 100 students, but I taught 3 different subjects. One of the subjects I taught, I was the only person teaching it. It was a new course. There was no curriculum. I was just making that up as I went along. So trying to imagine myself doing that and doing school and trying to do school board, yeah, that wasn't going to happen. Which is also one of the reasons why I quit my job, because I knew that all the responsibility that I had, I wasn't going to be able to balance it. Like, there's no way. And it's like, I wasn't going to be successful at both things. So, you know, I decided to let that go. And that also goes back to the support and administration. That's a whole nother conversation. But so I made that tough decision to go ahead and resign. And now I'm a full-time student, able to really get into the educational issues, you know, nationwide, statewide, countywide. You know, I'm able to really look at that kind of stuff and see, talk to teachers. You know, Facebook is a really popular tool for, I guess it's for, one of my students asked me, they said, you have a Facebook? That's for old people. I was like, well, I'm an old people. So I guess old people just use Facebook now. Not the Gen Z. They don't mess with Facebook anymore, apparently. So it's a lot of older people, I guess, on Facebook. So my page, I already have like almost 40 likes, which is great. Only thing I have on there now is like my biography, and my cover picture is a picture of my classroom supplies when I first got them. It was just me taking a picture of the stuff on the desk. So that's my cover picture. I mean, it's just, you know, whatever. So I'm really excited about all that, the school board situation. And I'm also doing my campaign for my candidate. And I actually, he gave me we're doing literature drops because, again, Corona, we're not knocking on people's doors and trying to talk to them and all that kind of stuff because of Corona, which again is great because I hate talking to people. I hated the idea of canvassing for myself also and for anybody else, but I would have done it, you know, just because it's important. But so we're doing lit drops. So he has different papers, business cards, different things like in a bag, and you're just going to go door to door and hang it up. So he told me, he gave me mine for my precinct. And he said, if you have any business cards or anything, you can go ahead and drop those in the bags. So when you do your precinct, you have your stuff in there as well. And I was like, okay, great. But I don't have any business cards. I haven't done it yet because I don't have any business cards. Again, my campaign's just getting started. He kind of lectured me. He's like, you knew you were doing this for a long time. You should have had some stuff by now. And I'm like, you're right. He's a baby boomer. So, you know, he's got that older boomer mentality and he's a grandpa, you know, just kind of like, you know, lecturing me, you know, like, okay, yeah, you're right. You're right. And so he is right. Everybody's right. You know, my mom said the same thing. She's like, you've been talking about this for like a year. Well, not quite a year, I guess, since like August. So I guess almost a year. And I don't know why I didn't. I guess because I was just really overwhelmed with it. And also because I didn't know where to start. You know, my mom's like, you're a political scientist. This is what you do. And I said, it's a lot easier trying to run someone else's campaign or to give them advice on what to say and what to do than it is to do your own, which I'm finding that out. It's very overwhelming. It's very difficult to do this for myself. So I was really glad when that other teacher said that she would help. Now she's also, you know, she's a teacher, so she can't devote a lot of time to this, which is fine, but she's gonna come up with some designs, some logos, some slogans, because I don't wanna order business cards without having a slogan or a design or, you know, something to put on there that's appealing. So, I mean, I don't know, we'll see what happens. And I don't wanna badger her either, because again, I know she's busy. She teaches high school and she teaches like honors English, and she, you know, she's all over the place. She has a family, you know, husband and kids and all that kind of stuff. So she's got a lot going on. So I'm not, you know, going to badger her like, hey, do you have those designs yet? Hey. So I might just ask her, give me a slogan and I'll come up with a design or whatever for a business card, or just use like a template or something. So, but yeah, that's about the school board. And it is, what is it? Is it August? What's today? August 8th, 9th? I think it's the 9th. Cause this is like six, it's almost 7 o'clock in the morning. I think it's the 9th. And the time has gone by really fast. I was just thinking about how like my fall classes start in like 2 weeks. I should probably order my books. I was looking at the syllabus for, I think it's this next class coming up, and it is rough. Like, I know my entire degree program is going to be doing like research papers and writing papers, but I think by the end of this course, I think I had like 4 20-page papers. I'm like, holy crap, man. Like, I mean, I know it's a PhD program, I know, and it's accelerated. Instead of getting it done in, you know, 5 to 6 years, it's gonna be done in 3 to 4, if I choose to get done that soon. So it's go, 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 basically. I know I've said before, but 15 weeks of class are packed into 8. So it's really fast paced. And again, it's another reason why I resigned, because there's no way I could do an accelerated PhD program and also have those other responsibilities. So, I mean, I'm gonna do it, obviously, make it happen. I wanna get this done. I wanna, you know, be a doctor and teach college, be a college professor at some point. So I've got that coming up. What else has happened in my life? Nothing really exciting has gone on. I guess that's kind of why I didn't really update or post or anything, because I guess I felt kind of weird, like, hey, it's AK. I don't really have anything to say, but hey, it's AK, you know, and just kind of, yeah. So I don't know. There's probably some stuff I could have said, but I mean, I don't know. I didn't do it. I know on my Twitter, I talked about how I went all out on 4th of July on my personal page, but I kind of didn't really do it for Twitter, so I felt bad. But I did. I typed up an analysis on Frederick Douglass, and I said I was going to read it on a podcast. I probably will, but definitely not right now. My phone's about to die anyway. But basically, the gist of it was, there are a lot of Black people who feel like the 4th of July isn't for them, and a lot of people were quoting his speech he wrote in 1852. It was what to the slave is the 4th of July. And so they're quoting different parts of that speech to justify not celebrating the 4th of July. But my issue with it was, if you read the entire speech, the second half of the speech, he talks about how he loves this country. The Constitution is a glorious document. So it's like, to use what he says in that first half, where he does call out, you know, slavery and the founding fathers and the hypocrisy. So to use that part and not read the rest of the speech, it's like taking his words out of context. He's like, he'd be like, that's not what I meant. Read the whole speech. That's not what I meant. I didn't mean don't celebrate. It's not for you. That's not what I meant. I'm calling them out on their hypocrisy. Keep reading what I personally say about this country. I love this country, that type of thing. So I kind of got frustrated seeing people use his speech in that way. So I typed up a whole Facebook note about it. So I'll probably read it at some point, because I thought it was really powerful. I don't think anybody commented on it or liked it, but I thought it was powerful. You know, as a historian, political scientist, whatever you want to call me, I thought it was a powerful message that I was trying to put out there, you know, because it's a really long speech too. So I think it's important for people to know about that. Just like with the whole Aunt Jemima thing, you know, people not knowing the history behind it, and you know, they're trying to figure out why people are upset about a black woman on a syrup bottle, not knowing the history behind the label, the name, the brand, and all that kind of stuff. I probably talk about that when I talk about Frederick Douglass. So at some point I'll do that, because it kind of goes in with his speech, I think, in a way. It's important to know history to be able to move forward. So just kind of like the Aunt Jemima thing, you know, that type of stuff. But so yeah, my phone again is about to die. I decided to do this last minute because I was just sitting here watching TV and I was thinking about it. And I was on Twitter and I was like, I should probably do an update or, you know, something, because I just posted on Twitter and I thought, let me go ahead and do an update just to, you know, I'm looking. I think the last time I did a podcast was like July 13th or something, almost a month ago. So yeah, it's been a while. So wow, it's been almost 40 minutes. I did not expect to talk that long. I really thought it'd be like 15, but I guess I had a lot more to say than I thought I did. So I'm gonna go ahead and go before my phone dies and I lose everything I just did. So thank you for listening, and I will talk to you next time.